because you became a believer doesn't mean you stop dancing. In fact, you should really be dancing. Once you're a believer, man, I know some of you used to do the Watusi. Anybody remember that? The Boogaloo? The Pony? The Pony? Who did that, man? Wow, man. All of a sudden, you know, you get saved, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, God wants you to enjoy life. Yeah. Amen. Man, there's nothing like knowing Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's the most awesome thing you'll ever experience. You talk about celebrating. Some of you get to heaven, you're going to be bored when you get to heaven. You know, it's like, oh, man, everybody, you know, God loves you today. Stand up this morning. Praise God. He is so good, so awesome. And we give him praise today. And, man, we're just going to share the word and love him this morning. Amen. Love him this morning. He is just good to us. Wow. Hallelujah. Turn over to Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 this morning and verse 22, 23. We welcome you today. I shared this a little bit last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about this today. Some powerful revelation just out of this verse the Lord gave me, and I just want to share it with you today. I believe it'll bless you. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith where? In God. Actually, the translation of that in the Greek is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. When you become a believer, the faith of God is deposited in you. Amen. You have the faith of God. You have a measure of faith, and we all receive the same measure. Out of the same measuring cup, we have received the faith of God. Amen. You have it. I have it. All of us have it this morning. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. What? You guys go ahead a little bit there. So, new program. Okay. Sorry, brother. All right. And does not doubt in his heart. He said, have whatever he, what? Whatever he says, whatever he believes. Amen. And doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done. Amen. Man, amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and tell them you already have it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You already got it, guys. God is good. Amen. Some of you understand that, have that revelation of that. Some of you will get that revelation and go, wow. Amen. Wow, this is a powerful scripture. You know, we've used this to talk about moving mountains, but really, you know, I want you to notice a word in this scripture. When Jesus said about this, let's go on back now, if you guys can. So, for surely I say unto you, whoever says to what? This mountain. He was talking about a specific mountain, this mountain. He didn't say any mountain, but he said this mountain. I really believe he was pointing at the mount where the temple sat. And he said, when this mountain, you can speak to this mountain, when the mountain of the Old Testament covenant is removed, then you can say to any mountain. You can say to any mountain. When religion is taken out of the way and my relationship comes, you can say to any mountain, be thou moved. Religion is a killer. Religion is full of rules of do's and don'ts. If I do right, I'll be blessed. If I don't do right, I'll be cursed. Religion is the focus is on you instead of Jesus. Jesus came that our focus would be on him and not on a set of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. God loves you whether you do or don't. His love remains the same to you through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. His love is not based on a condition. It's based on Jesus. It's not based on your performance, but it's based on the performance of Jesus. What the Old Testament law did would put the focus on yourself instead of put the focus on God. It was all about performance. Aren't you glad you don't have to perform any longer? Only thing you do is believe and receive through God's grace all that he's provided for you. Turn to somebody and say, that is the good news. Wow. Religious people place the focus on them. Grace people place the focus on him. Turn to somebody and say, where are you? The reason so many people fall under condemnation is they are focused on their own efforts instead of what God has already done for them. They're focused on trying to please God or trying to get something from God when they don't realize God's already given them everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already deposited in your spirit. Religion and the practice of the law wear you out. You can never perform good enough or be good enough to match up to what God's standards are. That's why Jesus came, amen, and is perfect in all of his ways. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus did what you couldn't do. Woo! Man, that is just good stuff. So we've been talking a little bit about obedience, and what does obedience mean? Obedience means to listen or to hearken to what God has said. And under the law of Moses, you had to be obedient to the perfection to receive what God had for you. Under the new covenant, your obedience is to simply obey what God has done through faith. It's a faith thing. Turn to somebody and say, it's a faith thing. The people's disobedience was required, or obedience was required first in order for God to bless them. But after Jesus went to the cross, the only requirement to inherit the promises was to believe on his finished work. That's what we do, and that's what we receive. Amen? It's not based on your performance, but it's based on his. Wow. God made the grace covenant because no one was able to keep the law covenant. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Look over in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 3. We looked at this verse. Let's look at it again. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all the commandments. You know, if you're guilty in one point, the Bible says you're guilty in what? All. Wow, man. All the commandments. And I command thee this day that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. To hearken there means to hear the Lord. To hearken, to hear. Obey means to hear the Lord. This is an old covenant which specifies God's blessings were conditional upon the people's behavior. Aren't you glad that's no longer true anymore? Y'all didn't get that. Aren't you glad that's no longer true anymore? It's not based upon your behavior. It's based on God's behavior. Oh, well, Pastor, does that mean we can just go out and do anything? No. Don't be stupid. Turn to somebody and say, don't be stupid. Grace doesn't permit you to just go out and do everything. Grace doesn't permit you to go out and sin. Grace empowers you over sin. If you're under grace, you're not under the law anymore. You're under the new covenant. Grace teaches us, Titus says, to live a godly life. Amen. To deny ungodliness. Praise God. But grace empowers you so much more. Amen. You're not dominated by the law anymore. You're dominated by grace. Oh, good news. Hallelujah. Over in, go over if you will to, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8:8-9. Let's look at this for just a moment. However, the Bible says, he found fault with them showing its inadequacy. I'm reading out of a different translation than probably what's up there, but listen to me. When he says, behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify what? A new covenant or agreement with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers on the day when I grasped them by the hand to help and relieve them and to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not abide in my agreement with them, and so I withdrew my favor and disregarded them, says the Lord. When God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first one obsolete, out of use, and what is obsolete, out of use, is annulled because of age, is ripe for disappearance and to be dispensed and with altogether, to be dispensed with altogether. So what do you do with something that becomes useless? You discard it, right? This is what I was talking about last Sunday. We would discard. My buddy had a new car. He wrecked it, and he discarded it. He didn't drive it anymore. It was useless. Amen. Go to Philemon 1:6. How many want to see faith working in your life? How many want to see faith working in your life and you receiving all the blessings that God had promised you? How many want to see that? God has all the blessings promised to you. Philemon 1:6. Amen. Look at this. That's Hebrews, brother. Philemon, you're getting there. So they're working real hard this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Got it? He said that the sharing of your faith may become effective. The sharing of your faith. Do you realize that when Christ died, all of the blessings came on us? Do you realize that? You are blessed today because all of the blessings came on you. Amen? The blessings came on you. You are blessed because of Jesus, and all those blessings were deposited in your born-again spirit. The thing is, how do we receive everything that's been deposited within us? How do we get the in out? How do we get the manifestation of what God has given us through grace out? Well, we do it by faith, by the faith that you received. Are you listening to me this morning? And here's a great verse that's telling us, the sharing or the communication of your faith may become effective. The word effective is to be energized or working. How is it working? How is our faith working? How are we healed? How do we receive these blessings? How do we walk in the peace of God? It's working, and it becomes effective when? When we acknowledge the good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. As you begin to acknowledge what God has done for you, in Christ Jesus, that faith is working on your behalf, and there's a manifestation that takes place. Problem is, you got to acknowledge it. You got to know what you have in you in order for it to come out of you. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Amen? So we acknowledge everything that God's done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, I'm getting this. I'm getting this. Amen. Oh, I'm glad. Hallelujah. There was nothing more useless or done away with than the law at this time. The law was given and is good because it points out your inadequacy, that you need God. That, wow, I can't live up to this. That's why Jesus came, because he did live up to the law in every measure. He was perfect, again, in all of his ways. Amen? But there was nothing wrong with the law. It was perfect. It was God's law. Hello? The covenant of Adam was a covenant that he had with God. And Adam, you know, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve said, hey, Adam, what's happening? Here's some fruit. And Adam said, all right. And he took it. Listen. You are no longer part of the Adams family. Da-da-da-dun. Da-da-da-dun. da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun. Turn to somebody and say, I'm no longer weird, baby. Amen. Amen. It's about that time of year, right? So you're no longer part of the Adams family. That is an old covenant. Amen. You have a new covenant. There's a second Adam. The first Adam failed, and because of that failure, all of mankind was plunged into sin. He was our representation. You're not a sinner because you sin. You're a sinner because of what Adam did. And now Jesus, the righteous one, has come and now has made you righteous, not because of anything that you did, but because of everything that he did. Hallelujah. And now you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have changed family trees. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Amen. You know, because Adam wanted that knowledge, and the enemy came and said, hey, you know what? You'll be just like God. Well, he was already just like God. And the Bible says that when he came to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he partook of that tree. And the knowledge of good and evil is nothing but a representation of the law. It points out our failures. It points out our shortcomings. It causes condemnation to come into our life. And if you're walking in condemnation, you can't receive the fullness of God, and your faith is not being effective. God doesn't want you walking in condemnation. He wants you walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and everything that he has for you. Quit swinging between the two trees. Somebody get that monkey anointing, man. They're swinging from the tree of life, and then they're over here, the tree of knowledge, and then they're back over here, and then they're back over here, and they're back. God wants you staying in life. Hallelujah. I met a young man today. His name's Noah. Isn't that awesome? Noah, grace, grace, grace unto the Lord. Amen? God's grace is applied to us. God gave grace to Noah. God gives grace to you. God's grace is there with us. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 3:14. Galatians 3:14. God, you are so good, so faithful to us. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians. Look what it says. 3:14. Back up a little bit. Could we go to 3:13? Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. He has redeemed us. He became that curse so you and I could be free. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took those thorns on his head. Therefore, you can have clear thinking today. Your mind doesn't have to be messed up. He put crown of thorns on his head. Turn to somebody and say, I've got clear thinking because of Jesus. Amen. He took that curse so you would be blessed. He said he took the curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? How come? For what reason? So that the blessing of Abraham might what? Turn to somebody and say, I am blessed today. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Amen. We're blessed today, not of our efforts, not of our works, but because of Christ. We have a new covenant with Abraham. Jesus, Abraham had just won a battle, and Melchizedek, the type and form of shadow of Christ, came to Jesus. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. You can find this in Genesis, king of righteousness. And he came to Jesus, and you know what he presented Jesus, or he presented Abraham with? He presented Abraham with wine and bread, the communion meal. And not only did he present him with wine and bread, but he blessed Abraham. Abraham had come from a battle. He was weary. Here comes the king of Salem, of Jerusalem, the king of righteousness, and blesses Abraham with bread and wine. Communion restores us. Hallelujah. In so many ways. What we receive this morning is restorative to us. It focuses on the Lord. It focuses on Jesus. And you know what Melchizedek did? Melchizedek blessed him. He blessed him. He blessed him. It was a type of Christ. You know that Christ is only capable of blessing? Hallelujah. You don't read any curse there, but you receive and read the blessing of the Lord. God is only capable of doing good to you. Oh, turn to somebody and say, I serve a good God. Amen. He is only capable of doing good for you. Amen. He is that type of Father. He is that type of God. He is so good to us. He is capable of only doing good for us. Praise God. Get out of this understanding that God is mad or God is going to beat me up and get into the life that God is nothing but good to me all the time. Hey, Mickey, you can give me some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you are faithful to us and you are good to us, Lord, in all areas of our life. And we give you the glory and the praise for it today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He is so good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, would you just right now just raise your hands and just worship him a second? Amen. You know, I just sense that somebody's been going through some things with your mind, and you know, God wants you to know that you can be at peace with him today. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation to him that are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you walking in condemnation any longer, but he wants you walking in the love and the peace of God that God has for you today. Amen. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Jesus today. You have a mind that is on sure foundation today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some praise right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what do you do when you find yourself going through it? Well, you stand in your faith. You receive all that God has for you. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. And look at verse 10. People are battling and thinking they're battling with the enemy, but I want to tell you, when you know your authority, the enemy's been defeated. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but I want you to look at verse 10, if you will, again. Look what Paul says to us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of what? Of his might. Amen? In the power of his might. Next verse. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Somebody say stand. What do you do when everything's come against you? You stand in God's love. You stand in faith. Amen. Against the wiles of the devil. Now look at this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. God wants you to stand and withstand. Amen. In the evil day, and having done all, to what? How many times does God say stand here? What do you do when you're under an attack of the enemy? You simply stand in his grace and in his love for you. You got to realize that the enemy has already been defeated. He has already been defeated. Turn to somebody and say, he hasn't got a leg to stand on because he's defeated. Oh, y'all get that later. Hallelujah. He doesn't have a leg to stand on because he's been defeated. Amen? And God wants you to stand. Wow. So what do? So when we're facing things, when we're up against things, we stand. We stand in his presence. We stand in the Lord. We allow that faith to rise up in us, and realizing everything he's deposited within our spirit, we stand. Turn to somebody and say, stand. Man, we need more people taking a stand. Amen. With all the goodness that God has. Turn over to Romans 6 this morning. Amen? Romans 6. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself a service to obey, you are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanks that we were servants to sin, but we have from the heart obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered to us. So here Paul's talking about that we've been obedient to what? The form of doctrine's been delivered to us. What form of doctrine was that? It was grace. Grace had been delivered, so you have the ability to stand in adversity. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying this morning. Amen? You have the ability to stand. The word obey there simply means hearken. Hearken. Hearken to what God says. God has given you the power over sin and over the enemy. Therefore, what you do is when you're going through things, you stand not being in a religious format, but at rest in Jesus Christ. Not at your performance, but just resting in Him. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. So Paul was writing at the church of Rome to ask them whether or not they were paying attention to the teaching of sin or they're paying attention to the teaching of grace. There's two teachings out there. There's the teaching of the law or there's the teaching of grace. And Paul said, which one are you being obedient to? You know, the one you're going to be obedient to is the one you hearken to or listen to. You can be struggling with all these things in your life, or you can be hearkening to the gospel of grace and resting in Jesus. You can be going through things, or you can be resting in what Christ has already done. Paul said, what are you listening to? I don't know about you, but I want to listen to the gospel of grace. I want to hear the good news and not be walking under the condemnation of the law. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Man, if we use our time to listen to the doctrine of sin, we are listening to the law. If we pay attention to it, that is what we will sense, and that's what will be going on in our lives. But if we're listening to the doctrine of grace and God's unconditional love, we'll be walking in rest and walking in peace. Can I get an amen, Jeff? Man, but what happens? So many people get so mixed up. They're in that tree with Adam. They're swinging from this tree to that tree. God says, get out of that tree, man. Get in that tree of life and know I've come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God's come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly. Get out of that religious thing and get into a relationship with God where God is the blessing and desires to bless you. Wow. Turn to somebody and say, God desires to bless you. Hallelujah. Acts 6:7. Look at this. How do we do that, Pastor? Then the word of God spread. How many want the word of God to spread? And the number of disciples multiplied greatly. How many desire that? In Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Talked a little bit about that. God says to be obedient to the, how are you obedient to the faith? They were listening to grace. When you listen to the message of grace, obedience is just automatic. Amen? You'll be all of a sudden think, boy, I'm addicted to something, and as you're listening to grace, you're just walking out of that addiction. Why? Because you know God loves you, and God cares about you, and God's not mad at you any longer, and you're not under condemnation any longer. Even when you blow it, you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because God doesn't see you according to your performance, but He sees you according to your spirit, which has been made perfect. One-third of you is perfect. What does Andrew Womack say? One-third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. So how do you get over things? You just receive the abundance of grace in your life, and you walk in the love of God, and all of a sudden you think, wow, you know, I used to be addicted to this, but now you're no longer addicted. Why? Because God has set you free. Amen. Oh, man, the imputation of righteousness has come upon you. Hallelujah. Obedience to the faith is obedience to believe what Jesus has already done for you. And when you believe what He's already done, there's no work and stress involved. You just receive. Turn to somebody and say, I received today. Hallelujah. I hope you're receiving this morning. Because I tell you, man, if you get this, it'll set you free. You know, God wants to change your life forever. How do you do that? By taking in and allowing that word to transform your mind. Not to be conformed to the world's standard, but be conformed to God's standard through Jesus Christ. Our transformation takes place as we listen to the word. As the word goes forth, amen, it begins to transform our thinking, which transforms our life. If you want a new life, get a new way of thinking. If you want a new life, get a new way of thinking. You want to experience abundance, get a new way of thinking. What does they say? Doing the same thing over and over again is a sign, and expecting a different result is a sign of what? Man, sometimes we make it so hard, and God says it's so simple. He said, in fact, I made it so simple. Don't let Satan corrupt you from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. as we receive from him and we receive his love and we receive his grace and we listen to that word and we tune into WORD, all of a sudden things are changed, man. Turn to somebody and say, God does not want you staying the same. Wow. How you become obedient? By hearing grace again and again and again and again. Hearing God's love again, that he loves me again and again. And all of a sudden, this transformation begins to take place in your mind. And you think, wow, God really does love me. God is my healer. God is my provider. How I am not the same as I was yesterday. Amen. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Thank you, Lord. I'm an overcomer today. I'm victorious in all areas of my life. Amen. I have everything that he promised me in Christ Jesus today. I've got a new identity. It doesn't matter what my daddy did or what my in-law did or what my outlaw did. I'm not in that family anymore. I've got a new bloodline. Some of you need to get out of that astrology stuff. You'll get really disappointed. Or not astrology, but what is it called? Yeah, that genealogy. But both of those. You get really disappointed. Amen. Man, you're looking in your gene tree and you're going like, whoa, what's going on there? Amen. Get out of that, man. Get into the tree of life where Jesus is. Find out who you are in Christ, your identity. We had Dwayne Sheriff talking yesterday about this very thing, and I thought, God, that's what I was going to speak about today. Get out of that area and talk about who you are in Christ. It doesn't matter what your dad was or your mom was or your grandmother was. It matters who Jesus is. Amen. You can give me some praise. Amen. When you start looking at that stuff instead of focusing on Jesus, you just become self-absorbed. You can get disappointed in a hurry. You can get depressed by finding out what some of your in-laws and outlaws did. Man, when you start focusing on Jesus, everything changes. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Amen? Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Therefore, since also we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say, lay it aside. Just turn to somebody and say, get over it. Turn to somebody else and say, you're already forgiven. Just get over it. Just receive his forgiveness today. Amen. Lay aside every weight and every sin which so does easily ensnare us, and let us what? Run the race with endurance. Endurance. The race that is set before us. Doing what? You know, we are so self-absorbed, self-focused. Sometimes it's all about me. And I tell you, that is the most discouraging place to be at. If you're self-absorbed, you're going to be discouraged all the time. But when you become Jesus-absorbed and start looking at him and what he's done for you on that cross and this new relationship he's provided for you, all of a sudden those things are going to just fly off of you, man, because your focus is absorbed on him. And that's what the law does. The law puts the focus on you. Grace puts the focus on him. Amen? And he said, looking unto Jesus, who is he? The author and the finisher of our faith. He started it. He's going to be able to finish it. Amen? Therefore, what do you do in between? You rest in his grace. When you rest, he's working. When you're resting, faith is working. When you're back there struggling about this situation and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that, you become so self-absorbed that you miss everything that Jesus wants to do for you. Start looking unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith. It's when Peter looked at the waves and thought about himself, fear entered in, and he began to sink. But aren't you glad for Jesus? Even when you begin to sink, he's right there to pull you back out. Amen. And they both walked back to the boat together. You can be a water walker today. You don't have to sink. You keep your focus on Jesus. You keep your eyes on him. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know where you're seated at today? You're seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. You're above only and not beneath. Praise God. Quit struggling. Whenever you start to do a performance thing, realize, man, he already performed. Oh, pastor, does that mean I don't have to pray? No, we pray. But, man, we pray different prayers now. We don't pray to move God. We pray because God's already moved and we have the authority to release life into people and situations. We don't fast to get God's attention. We fast just to position ourselves to that place where we know what we have in Jesus Christ. A lady asked me the other day, yes, Pastor, do we still fast? I said, absolutely. Amen. But we're not fasting to move God. God already moved 2,000 years ago. You fast just to position yourself to know what you have in Jesus Christ. When you fast, you're breaking a wall, breaking away from all this earth and all the things that are there. Where do you get your food from, by the way? The earth, the world. When you begin to fast, you just break away from that. Pastor, do we tithe? Absolutely. In fact, you go beyond the tithe if you're a grace person. Grace always goes beyond. Turn to somebody and say, amen to that. Hallelujah. Grace goes beyond. Abraham tied to Melchizedek. Wow. That was before the law. Amen. So we tithe, we give. Why? We're doing it on a different side, man. We're not on this side of the old covenant. We're on this side of the new covenant. And it's out of our heart, our response to God, that we give. It's out of our heart and our response to God that we know we're blessed. Amen. We're not performing anymore. He's already done it for us. In fact, he's singing over you today. Hallelujah. He is nothing but good to us today. So when you start to struggle, ask yourself, where's my focus on? Is it on Jesus or is it on myself? If you're really struggling, sometimes you know the best thing you can do is go out and bake somebody an apple pie. Get the focus off yourself and get it on somebody else so that you can be a blessing to them. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, raise your hands with me this morning. Would you do that today? Father, thank you today. Say, Father, thank you today that I'm blessed, that I'm not under the old covenant any longer, but I'm under the new, the covenant of God's grace, his favor on my life. His unconditional love is with me today. I fear no one. I have his love. My mind is clear. I have a sound mind today, a sound heart today. One third of me is perfect by the Spirit of God. And I declare my soul is becoming more like Jesus. Every day, every day, I am free, I am free in Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give him some praise this morning, amen. Hallelujah. Just bow your head for just a moment today. Maybe you're here for the first time and you haven't heard the message of God's grace and God's unconditional love, and you're going, wow, Pastor, that is amazing. Amen. I want to receive that. Well, if you're here this morning and you'd like to receive his love for you today, I want you to just slip up your hand and say, I want to receive that love. Would you do that today? God bless you. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Just raise it up, put it right back down. Anybody else today? Praise the Lord. He is with us today. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Amen. Well, let's pray this morning. Say with me, everybody. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you love me, that you've forgiven me. Come into my heart today. I receive you in everything you have for us. Thank you, Lord. I am set free today because of the blood of Christ. I am free in every aspect of my life. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Would you shake hands with about five people this morning? Tell them you are loved today. Praise the Lord.